Well, good morning.
Good morning, everyone.
And welcome here to another service from Unity Center of Light, located in Bowie, Maryland. I'm Reverend Millage Mosby.
And I'm Pamela Mosby.
And we look forward to bringing you this service today. We always like to invite you to our Zoom fellowship, which is right after this. If you do not receive the e-newsletter or the weekly update, you can find the link for the Zoom service in our URL for our website. And you can find that by, if you're watching this on YouTube, right down below, you just click on the Show More button, and you will see how to get the links to our fellowship service. Well, you can listen to some great music. If you have questions about the lesson, you can always ask those questions there. And so it gives you a chance to have some fellowship and connection with your Unity family. And, you know, if you find this service to be inspiring and uplifting, we'd appreciate you donating to Unity Center of Light, and you can find out how to do that again and by clicking that Show More button just below, and it'll show the many different ways you can support Unity Center of Light. So with that, we are going to get started with Pamela.
Okay, thanks. Good morning, Unity family, and welcome to the Unity Center of Light, a spiritual community that nurtures the growth of all who are seeking to develop the potential of their spirit, mind, and body. Please join me as we affirm our mission and foundation statements together. Let's begin with the mission statement. The mission of Unity Center of Light is to empower individuals to express their indwelling divine potential. We teach there is a power within each of us far greater than anything that exists outside of us. Now let's affirm our foundation statement together. There is only one power and one presence active in my life and affairs, God the Good, Omnipotent. Amen. And now we will have the daily word reading for today, Sunday, July the 3rd. The keyword is free. The affirmation is living from my Christ nature sets me free. As a spiritual being, I am always free. I remember this at those moments I feel at the mercy of an unpredictable world. While I may not be able to control what happens around me, I can take comfort knowing that I don't need to. I am free to choose my response, but even more, I am free to meet life from my divinity, the breadth of my spiritual power. In prayer, I claim divine ideas. I use my gift of imagination to envision the life I wish to live and the gift of will to make choices to bring it about. I speak affirmations to raise my consciousness and help create conditions for my highest and best outcomes to manifest. I find precious freedom, realizing that life doesn't happen to me. Life happens through me. And the scripture is taken from John 8:36, and it reads, "So if the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed." Amen. And now we'll have the Sunday message with Reverend Butch.
Thank you, hon. I really like that idea that life doesn't happen to me, it happens through me. And that's what we're going to kind of talk about today. You know, and the title of this is, you are already free because you are complete. Okay? You are already free because you are complete. And so we're going to talk about that and how that works in our lives from a practical perspective. So, you know, you've heard it expressed that prayer that beseeches or begs God to do something is an open acknowledgement that we believe the creation is incomplete, and that the Creator has somehow forgotten something that we feel is very necessary to our well-being. So the metaphysical thought behind that that belief is that the more we beg God to do something or give us something in accordance with our perceptions of what we think we need in our lives, the more we demonstrate our ignorance of God's eternal nature, okay? And the more we demonstrate that we do not understand that the statement, the universe is already complete, what that really means. And again, this is one of those lessons or discussions where we're trying to understand what exists beyond what we think we understand about how prayer works and how it is that we interact with the universe to bring about into our lives what we really want. So this may very well be a difficult concept for us to embrace, that being that the universe is already complete, and there's nothing more God needs to do for us. right away our mind is like, well, no, I need God to do this, I need God to do that. So we want to try to understand, what does that really mean, okay, that the universe is already complete and there's nothing more that God needs to do for us. But what is, you know, this is expressing that the idea that God has made us complete, and the way that has happened is God has placed God's self, it's almost what Pam was talking about, God has placed God's self within every cell of our being in the form of the living Christ. So we are all the only begotten of God, filled with all that we need to create whatever we need, and that is what makes us free, okay? At least free from a spiritual perspective. But as is written in John 8:32, Jesus stated that we have to first come to know this truth, and in that knowing, we shall be free. Free of believing that we are not complete. And yes, that's the difficult part to comprehend. You know, how do I understand this idea that I am free, and actually free to create in my life whatever it is I want to create in my life? And what we'll begin to understand is I am creating in my life what is happening in my life, okay? So we want to understand how to create what it is we really want. And yes, you know, that's difficult to comprehend. This idea that all we ask God for is already within us, waiting for us to discover it. So our quest is not to become spiritual. Rather, it is to discover that about ourselves that is already spiritual. And then learn how to access it and bring it into expression in our lives. Okay. So in an episode of Obi-Wan Kenobi, Star Wars fans know who I'm talking about. Obi-Wan Kenobi is, you know, he comes across an ethereal image of his master, Qui-Gon Jinn, while riding in the desert, okay? So Obi-Wan yells out in a great joy and enthusiasm, says, "Master, you are here. I've been waiting for you." To which his master replies, "I have always been here, just waiting for you to evolve to a state of consciousness where you could see me." Now, I don't know if that hit you the way it hit me, okay? But using this analogy, think about the image of Obi-Wan being in the desert. Now, this is important. Obi-Wan being in the desert with nothing to distract him as the reason why he was able to perceive the presence of his master. Now, for us, that desert experience can be found in prayer and meditation, and also in spiritual contemplation. Spiritual contemplation being deep, inner reflective thought, okay? And so the desert in this scenario represents the idea of kenosis. And you've heard me talk about this before. We're going to really dig deeper into that idea of kenosis. So an idea of kenosis is emptying ourselves of our own expectations for the express purpose of allowing ourselves to experience God moving in our life experience, okay? While knowing and being okay with the fact that we have no idea of the infinite possible ways that God can move in our life experience. So that's what the idea of kenosis is, because if we're not operating from that mindset, what we're doing is we're constantly busy directing God. God, this is how I need for you to move. And we're using our infinite knowledge, our infinite understanding of possibilities to ask God to do something for us. Where in kenosis, you just empty yourself of all of those notions of how you think God should help you, okay? So an example of this is, lately I've been receiving these mental intuitive messages to ask for what I want in circumstances where the situational or organizational policy is to say no to my request. Unfortunately, mental intuitive messages come like at 3 o'clock in the morning. But anyway, all right. But it's like, you know, I get these messages say, this, just ask this, this, do this, okay? So in one instance, I needed to return an expensive piece of technology that was months outside of the organizational return policy, okay? And I had held on to this expensive item until I needed it, but then found out that when I finally opened it months later to try to connect up what I was trying to do, I found it wouldn't work for what I was trying to accomplish. So again, early one morning, I received the thought to call the company, explain the circumstance, and ask would they still allow me to return the item. So reluctantly, I did so. And I say reluctantly because in my mind, I was thinking the answer was going to be no. But I had to practice kenosis, emptying my mind of what I thought was going to happen. Okay, so the company representative I was talking to repeated the policy and stated that I was months outside of the return period and nothing could be done. So I remained silent because calling and asking is all that I was directed to do. I wasn't directed to do anything else. Okay? And not only did I remain silent, I also remained empty, practicing kenosis with no expectation of what the outcome would be. Okay, so I wasn't hoping, wishing that, you know, a particular thing would happen. Kenosis is none of that is going on. So after a few moments of silence, the representative said, hold on. So I held on, continuing in this state of kenosis, meaning remaining empty of my own thoughts, desires, and expectations. So when the representative came back on, it sort of woke me out of a mental state that I can't really explain. Then she explained what they were willing to do as if it was punishment for not following the return policy, when in essence, it was a good solution. You know, not a full solution, but it was a good solution. And, you know, not something I would have thought of if I had been busy thinking and worrying about it. Okay, so think of kenosis or the idea of kenosis as remaining empty as being in a state will you stop trying to tell God how to handle God's business? So it may be accurate to say that the majority of our encounters in life are based on relationships with one another. Like in that case, it was a relationship with the representative of the company. Okay, so most of our encounters are based on relationships of one kind or another, often with us wanting or needing others to bend to our will around a certain circumstance, desire, need, or want. Like in the example I just gave, it was understandable that I would want the company rep to bend to my will, my needs, no matter how outrageous they may be. But that is our typical mode of behavior. In all of these lessons, we're exploring that there is a reality which exists beyond our typical mode of behavior, beyond our intellectual reasoning, you know, beyond our rationalizations and justifications, beyond what we call common sense. Okay? There's a realm that exists beyond all of that. So we're exploring the idea that with God, all things are possible, regardless of what we think is or is not possible. And how do we move our mind, heart, and spirit in that this direction? Well, if we go to Philippians 2:2-5, the Apostle Paul explained what is called imitating Christ's humility, okay? So this is what it says. It says, therefore, if you have any encouragement for being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in his spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make your joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the other. Now, here it is. In your relationship with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. Okay? And I always like to explain for those who are PowerPoint experts, and I know that's a lot on one slide, but at least you can read it along with me. So again, this is a very challenging, no matter how intriguing that whole verse we just read is, very challenging, no matter how intriguing it sounds. And it is intriguing to at least think about what that verse is saying. Okay, so listen to verse 5 in that again. It says, in your relationship with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. And what is this mindset? It is kenosis, emptying out my own expectation so that I provide space. Because you might say, well, why Well, I don't want to get rid of my own expectation. Well, listen why. You're going to do that, emptying out my own expectation so that I provide space for God to move in my life, okay? And to clarify, God movement comes in the form of divine ideas, divine guidance, divine outcomes. So I'm emptying my own thinking process to make room for God to move in my life and my life circumstances and affairs, okay? By bringing in divine ideas, divine guidance, and divine outcomes. So in the story that I told of receiving the guidance to ask for what I thought was impossible and then be mentally still, not hoping, wishing, or desiring for a certain outcome, thus making way for an outcome to manifest that I could not have imagined. Okay. And in that particular situation, just to let you know, I sent the item back. They were not going to give me back all the money for it, but I keep all my boxes, as Pam can tell you. I keep all my boxes, all the stuffing, everything. So when I packed that item and sent it back and they received it, they didn't give me what the lesser amount they were going to give me. They gave me the full amount, right? And you got to understand, I was okay with whatever they were going to do. And being okay, I received all that I had paid for it. And so that's how this process works. And it's important to note that if the situation that I was going through with them, if it did not work out as I would have liked, now this is important. The spiritual practice of kenosis is to continue to remain in a consciousness of knowing that the activity of God is working. Okay? Because that activity is always working. So if like I said, when in that situation, that particular, and you use your own situations, if it had not worked out well at all, I wouldn't have changed my mindset of kenosis, because I know that God is continually working. As Jesus said in John 5:18, my Father is always at work to this very day, and I too am working. So knowing that God is always working in the affairs of your life is the very truth that will set you free. Okay? Knowing that God is always working in the affairs of our lives is the very truth that will set us free. And it is the truth that will let you know that you are free, because you are complete, meaning you do not have to keep asking for the same thing over and over again as if you do not believe that God is working on your request, okay? And the work that God is doing is not just out there in the situation and circumstances of life, okay? We've heard that God causes things to work in concert, all right, in order to bring about the thing you're asking for. So it's not just what's going on out there, but also within us. As Pam said, it's not that life happens to me, but it happens through me, okay? So God is also working within us to raise our state of consciousness where we can recognize and embrace the work that has already been done, which is what is meant by you are complete. I've asked, I've said all that I might have wanted to say to God, and then I rest in knowing that God is at work. See, I am complete. And the minister's things that happen on Thursday, when we finish sharing, we'll say, I am complete. So we can use that, I am complete. So in this idea of I am complete, as we read in Ecclesiastes 3:11, okay, it says, God has made everything beautiful in its time. So when it is time for that prayer to be answered, or you've reached a state where you can perceive the answer to the prayer, it will be beautiful. God has made everything beautiful in his time. God has also set eternity in the human heart. Yet no one can fathom what God has done from beginning to end. We can't understand all the things that God has done for us. So, And there is our challenge, okay? The challenge is that we cannot fathom what God has already done from beginning to end in terms of what we feel we need taking care of in our life, okay? So the difficulty for us is comprehending that sometimes what we're going through, and this is a tough one, it is difficult for us to comprehend that sometimes what we're going through is what we must go through to get to the next level of understanding. So we think to ourselves, well, you know, I got this intuition from God, let me just do what it says, and boom, I'm done, okay? Yes, but then you're going to be guided through a path, all right? And it's hard for us to understand sometimes or comprehend, why do we have to go through this to get to that next level of understanding? And even if, as I say that, that we have to go through some things to get to the next level of understanding, it makes me cringe, all right, to say it. Because there is stuff that comes up in our individual lives that we just do not want to deal with. Can I get an amen for that? Right? Yeah, I mean, many of you are probably saying that. That's why I said it makes me cringe. Because you think about things, they come up and you're like, oh man, I don't want to have to go through this. All right? But yet, that's the purpose of the psalmist's song. He said, I don't want to go through this. But the 23rd Psalm says, even though I walk through the darkest of times, well, the valley of the shadow of death, as we heard it, but even though I walk through the darkest of times, I will fear no evil because thou art with me. God is working. Okay? So again, what is our work in all of this? What is ours to do? So listen to how Henry Wadsworth Longfellow, 19th century poet, explains it. He says, let us then labor for an inward stillness, an inward stillness and an inward healing. That perfect silence where the lips and hearts are still, and we no longer entertain our own imperfect thoughts and vain opinions. But God alone speaks to us, and we wait in singleness of heart, that we may know God's will, and in the silence of our spirits, that we may do God's will and do that only. Okay. So just to piggyback on that, Dr. Alexis Carrel, he's 1874 to 1944, French-born American surgeon and biologist. And I've read this to you before, but it was a while ago, and I wanted you to hear this again. He won the 1912 Nobel Prize for his work on vascular ligature and grafting of blood vessels and organs. So this is what he said. He said, prayer is not only worship. It is an invisible emanation of human spirit. Okay? The most powerful form of energy that can be generated. The influence of prayer on the human mind and body is demonstrable as that of secreting glands. Now, as a physician, he says, I have seen people, after all other surgery and therapy has failed, lifted out of disease and melancholy by the supreme effort of prayer. It is the only power of nature, okay? Prayer is a source of luminous and self-generating energy, okay? It is the only power of nature. And prayer is a source of luminous and self-generating energy. Okay, so here's a great doctor who has won the Nobel Prize for his work in medicine, professing that prayer has worked where medicine has not. Okay, as many of us here in this center and listening, the listening audience, might have experienced in your own lives. But in his statement, he gave a very valuable clue to what makes prayer work. He said it took a supreme effort. Okay? And what is interesting to note is that the supreme effort we must make has nothing to do with what we say in prayer or how we say it. It has everything to do with how much we beseech, or has nothing, I should say, nothing to do with how much we beseech or beg God, you know, to answer our prayer. Rather, the supreme effort has to do with simply saying, as we talked about last week, yes to God's thoughts and no to that which is not of God. Okay, our work is to spend more time in the silence, developing a divine union between our mind and God's mind. Okay? See, in that divine union, you will feel in every fiber of your being when your prayer has been heard, okay, because you've made that connection. So when you do the work to create a conscious union between your mind and God's mind, you begin to emit a mental force from your mind, body, and spirit that heals and guides and protects you without you even asking. So once you made this connection, you'll find that your healing is happening within you, and you're not even asking for it, okay? But as the doctor expressed, to develop this level of prayer consciousness takes a supreme effort. So if you think about nature, much of what occurs in nature happens deep within the earth. It happens in what the psalmist called the secret place of the Most High, that Psalm 91:1, okay? There is a deeper level of prayer that happens at the level of your soul that helps you develop a spiritual consciousness that raises you above the common everyday challenges of life. It helps you to gain mastery over your mind, body, feelings, and emotion. It is prayer that occurs in a deeper place, okay? Now think about nature. The seed does much of its work in the secret place, deep underground, in preparation for its appearance in the outer. Things of value, like diamonds and oil and gold, are formed in deep, secret underground places. Secret, because a lot of times, mankind is looking for them and has a hard time finding them, okay? But they happen in these deep, secret places, gaining much value before becoming useful in the outer, okay? So it explains the synoptic teachings of unity, and there's two slides for this that I want to share with you. It says, all metaphysical work is directed towards getting our thoughts to move inwardly towards truth and reality. The need is to move from the sense world to the realm of ideas, from the realm of form to the realm of spirit, from the bodily consciousness to spiritual consciousness. The technique for this movement from the outer to the inner is prayer and meditation. Okay? So prayer is an action and thought and consciousness that goes to God first. The purpose is to get in back of the form, in back of that which you are praying for, to get to the truth and reality behind it. So as to discover the formless, to get in back of your personality, so as to discover your soul, to get in back of the external circumstances and conditions in your life, so as to discover what is really happening, and to get in back of mere existence to discover life itself, to get in back of outer consciousness to discover the consciousness of our infinite reality, what we have been calling the living Christ. Okay, so a lot of this is, how do I get into the basic essence of what I'm experiencing in my life? How do we get to the deeper reality of ourselves? By using prayer to create a holy union with our indwelling Christ. That is how we do it. Prayer is a holy communion, one that you can do anytime and should do all the time. Let me say that again. So prayer is a holy communion, one that you can do anytime and should do all the time. It says, it's written in 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18. You know this one, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks. Now, the Greek word for without ceasing actually means constantly occurring. So it means to punctuate every moment in your daily life with intervals of recurring prayer. Think about your normal day. And then think about how often you need prayer to bring you back to your natural state. All right? Wow, we listened to the news last night, and man, we had to just turn it off for a minute and just kind of recenter. Okay? So your inner Christ-like state of being is where you're always pulling yourself back. Now, the point to realize is that being peaceful, calm, serene is our natural state. Being constantly open and receptive to God's living spirit of truth is our natural state. Anything else is an illusion created out of our perceptions. So a great analogy I read about prayer is, it's like a person walking beside a fast-moving streetcar, who suddenly jumps on the streetcar. And even though he remains perfectly still, he's carried along at a speed much faster than he could possibly go if he was traveling on his own effort. So prayer is like that. Suddenly you're picked up in that moment in your mind, and it takes you, that means you make contact with God as your living spirit of truth, and you're swept along into higher levels of consciousness, levels at which you can see the answer before you even ask for it in prayer. So for one of the highest ideals of prayer is to reveal and understanding of the derivative of the word. To understand prayer, we want to understand the derivative of the word Sanskrit. And that word is palau, which means literally judging oneself as being wondrously made. So the Sanskrit derivative, the ancient Sanskrit derivative of the word prayer, is judging oneself as being wondrously made. Now think about how powerful that is. Prayer is a process of raising yourself to the level of consciousness where you come to know that you are wondrously made. Or, as the title of this lesson proclaims, you are free because you are complete. So if you could truly embrace this notion that we are wondrously made, our prayer consciousness would be immediately elevated, and we would know that our needs have already been met, and we are complete. So I'm going to leave you with this affirmation to work with this coming week to boost up your prayers about what you may want or need in your life. Okay? And it says, I am free to receive all I want and need. I am free to receive all I want and need, knowing I am already complete. And so it is. Amen. And now we're going to have meditation with Pamela.
Thank you, hon. Great message. So today, Unity Family, this meditation is for inner freedom. Let us settle into a comfortable space, breathing deeply in and out, and knowing that each inhale brings life-affirming oxygen to the cells of our bodies, and as we exhale, we feel the power and presence of God moving through us and bringing our minds and bodies into balance. Just breathe and know. Feel all areas of your body now relaxing and bringing your mind and heart together. This is the time when you can experience the inner freedom of your soul. In 1 Peter it reads, as servants of God, live as free people. We believe in the power of God to set us free. Now, in the quietness of your surroundings, allow my words to be your very own. I may believe in the freedom of others, but sometimes have a challenging believing in my own freedom. I gain the freedom to do what I desire to do when I stop letting my own negative thoughts control me. If I feel that I have lost the willpower to overcome some dependency, I reclaim it now. I do not wait for someone to rescue me or do what is mine to do. I claim my freedom from negative habits and tendencies as I let the power of God's Spirit within me set me free and keep me free. When I truly realize that I can never be alone in anything I do, I have the courage to claim my freedom. I am free to say no to someone or about something when my decision is the result of divine guidance. Yes, I am free, for the power of God within has set me free. Now please take the next few moments in the silence where you may pray, receive answers to your prayers, and to continue to be still. Thank you, gracious Spirit, for lifting me to the higher freedom of my soul. For all these gifts and more, we give thanks in the name and nature of our elder brother and way-shower, Jesus the Christ. And so it is, and forever shall be. Amen.
Thank you. That was wonderful. So this is a time we open our hearts and minds to allow some of the treasure that flows into our personal life to flow into our spiritual home. So we ask you to hold your offering in your hand, in your mind, in your spirit as we say our offering prayer together. Together we bless and give thanks for these tithes and offerings as they go forth to continue the healing, loving work being done through the Unity Center of Light. Amen. And now you have light notes?
Yes. So starting next Sunday, July the 10th, we're having one in-person hybrid service a month. Typically, it would be the first Sunday of the month. And in July, due to the holiday, this holiday weekend, we're starting next Sunday at 10:30 a.m. Please see safety protocols in your updates. And be aware that when you register to participate in the service, each adult must register separately. Please do not register children as they will be in a separate room. The next Women of Unity get-together is on Saturday, July 30th at 2:30 p.m. at the home of Joyce Phillip in Crofton. The theme is Where I'm From. Masks required when entering her home and then removed while eating. This will be potluck, so please email me to let me know if you will attend and what you will be bringing. My email is pamosby@msn.com. We invite you to join us for our first trip back to Cape and Spring since COVID. The dates are September 9th through the 11th. We arranged this trip with you in mind. You asked for it, and we're making it happen for you. Please see the fillable registration form in your updates and e-newsletter. All payments are due by August the 12th. The next book that the book club will be reading is called Dying to Be Me by Anita Morjani. She says, and I quote, "I had the choice to come back or not. I chose to return when I realized that heaven is a state, not a place." This book is a memoir of a near-death experience and the overcoming of the seemingly impossible. Discussion will take place on September the 11th at 1 p.m. on Zoom. And Children's Church now has their own Zoom link. Please check your updates for the link. And a reminder for all those who wrote their letters to God at the New Year's Eve service, it is now time to locate your letters and see where you are in your journey. And that concludes our announcements.
Okay, and just also more information on the in-person service. We've been working on the technology to make it's going to be both an in-person and Zoom service combination. And it's been taking some effort to pull all the technology and know-how together to make that happen. So we just want you to be aware of that. When you come, you're going to see your Zoom family up in the front on the screen, as well as, you know, in-person folks who are there. And also when you register, you do that on the website. There's a place for you to register and to upload your vaccination information. We're being very careful with this. Just to give an example, Unity, a big event in Unity Village a couple of weeks ago, there was about 300 people there, and over 90 of them that we know of went home with infected with COVID. So we're being very careful, and we want you to read the protocols on the website before you're coming next week. So with that in mind, we are now ready to... We're ready to
bless the path that we will walk this week.
We're going to say
it. So we're going to say it with passion, zeal, and gusto. Together.
Right.
I go forward in the spirit of the Lord, knowing my way is made easy, joyous, healthy, and prosperous. And I am grateful.
All right. Let's go right to our prayer for protection.
The light of God surrounds us. I am light. The love of God enfolds us. I am love. The power of God protects us.
I am power. The presence of God watches over us. I am presence. Wherever we are, God is. I am divine, and all is well. And that's the truth.
All right. So it's been our pleasure to bring you this service today. We look forward to seeing you in the Zoom right after. If we don't see you there, we wish you a very happy holiday,
yes,
and safe holiday weekend, and we will see you next week.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.